Hi, everyone. It's Mary Lou Tyler. And this week, you are going to love the session. It's with Matt Hines. He's the president of Hines Marketing, Inc., out of Seattle, Washington. The reason why I love what Matt does is because he really is that blend that we're looking for between having the right words, the right content, the right assets, the right documentation, and helping us have better conversations with top of funnel clients, those prospects with whom we are starting initial conversations, we're doing cold conversations, we may be following up. His expertise is really encompassing. Besides, he does, and I'll let him tell you, but he more than likely does all of the funnel. But what I'm looking at him today for is to help us understand how we can get better at leveraging content to help us have those first conversations more consistently and more predictably so that we can reduce the lag in the pipeline and get to opportunity faster. So Matt, welcome, welcome.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So tell us, let me just start by saying it's 2016, it's the end of the year. I am enrolled in 3 copywriting classes right now, a persuasive copywriting class, a journalistic copywriting class, and then what I would call like a blog writing to understand how to write better and how to write with understanding more about the behavioral aspect, the sentiment of crafting good content. And it's not because I want to get really good at it, because there are people like you and your world that know how to do that. But I just really want to understand where we're missing the mark. So I'm hoping that you can shed some light for the people listening today who are stymied as I have been as to, you know, what is this thing with content and how do we get better at it?
Those are great questions, and I think, you know, our ability to communicate is a key part of that. So I applaud you for taking the writing classes. I think, you know, we have an awful lot of marketers, salespeople who have great things to say and simply can't get them across. And some of that's about the words they choose. Some of that's about the approach that they take, the clarity and precision of the words they choose, how best those words are communicated in various formats, whether it's in a written word or a, you know, audio format like this or a live phone call or even a video. There's differences and nuances in all of that. So it's important to understand communication, precision, and best practices. But I think the bigger issue I see in the market is that people don't create content that resonates with their audience. They create content for themselves and about their sales and product, their products and services first. Mm-hmm. And fail to really help prospects or their audience and customers understand why that matters. And so, you know, another way of saying that is we fail too often to take the prospect's point of view, take the customer's point of view, start with their issues, end with their issues, focus on their needs, their problems, their outcomes, their desired objectives, and use that as a way of putting, when the time is right, our solution, our product in the right context, so it's seen as a value add at that point. So I think communication really, you know, it comes down to a couple of things. One is the way that we communicate, but then also what we are communicating we have a lot to improve there as well.
And the other thing that I've discovered, and I talk about this in my book, is that there are certain levels of awareness that, especially when we're doing an outreach campaign, we don't have the luxury of having people who have found us, who are interested in what we have and maybe are in evaluation stage. We are getting, of those 5 levels of awareness, we're getting people who are unaware of who we are. We're getting people who kind of know there's a problem, but don't necessarily know there's a solution even out there for them. Mm-hmm. Not everybody, but you know, there's a lot of that going around. I mean, I've had people say to me, "I'm so glad you found me, because I would have no idea that you do what you do and you do it the way you do it." So, you know, as a professional, a business developer, we have to worry about that as well. And I think that's another disconnect that I'm seeing, is the level of awareness and how that's embedded in. I see 2 issues. One is, like you said, the people, but we also have to know when these people appear in the pipeline, because business development, we may start talking to someone in and around the influencer, whether they're directly or indirectly influencing our target. We may start someplace in those, in that bullseye on a second or third level, but we still, you know, as you say so rightly, we still have to be able to communicate that to that person so that they'll be willing to have a conversation with us.
Yeah, you're right. And you touched on a number of important things there, but I think, you know, your ability to really craft and position your outcome, what you represent in a way that is favorable towards the product or service you're selling is critical. And that takes time and it takes patience. And I know that a lot of people listening probably, just like me and just like you, you know, we have a number we have to hit at the end of the month. We have a number we need to hit to sort of keep our own businesses open. So, you know, the accountability still comes down to closing deals. But, you know, those deals have to be mutually beneficial. And too often when prospects come to you at the end of the sales process, those, you know, those mythical, like, ready-to-buy prospects that we all say that we want, too often those prospects come with their own preconceived notion of what they're solid and what they're getting. And so if you haven't been involved or if you haven't helped condition and position what problem you're solving and that what it's going to take to solve for that, the prospect may be buying something that's different than what you're delivering. And so there is still risk in those ready-to-buy prospects that, you know, there's a disconnect. I think a bigger challenge and opportunity for companies is to build that relationship well before either side is needed. You know, to be able to not just get someone's attention, which we seem all enamored with in sales and marketing. We're all focused on, like, how do we get someone's attention? How do we earn their attention? The bigger challenge, the bigger need is to keep that attention, to sustain that attention until they're ready to buy. I mean, we as sellers aren't going to control when a particular individual or decision maker or company is going to be ready to buy. You know, we can create a sense of urgency, but there's so many other factors involved. We're not going to have control over that. But what we can control is whether we continue to earn ongoing attention in the meantime. So what are you doing with your content, with your channels, with your cadence, with the value you're providing to someone on an ongoing basis to keep that sustained attention in a value-added way so that when the prospect is ready to engage and ready to buy, not only do you still have their attention and do they have yours, but you've spent that time sort of conditioning them to have similar viewpoints and a similar perspective in terms of what you can solve. And I think the sales process ends up going a lot more smoothly and a lot more quickly as a result.
So if I'm a sales manager listening to this conversation right now and I'm thinking, okay, Matt makes a heck of a lot of sense, where do I begin? I mean, what do I need to look at in terms of tactical? Let's put strategy to the side, because if we were to engage you at day one, we wouldn't be in this predicament that we're in right now. So let's pretend that we started and we've got this thing that's called a sales process going, and it's not really going our way. So we are looking and becoming educated that, gee, content really does fit here, but how does it fit? So what are the first things I should look at as a sales manager who's on the sales side in terms of the content pieces?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things I would point out. One is you have to better understand your target audience. I mean, so for marketers, this comes down to what are your personas? Like, how well have you identified decision makers and stakeholders inside the organization that you care about? And how well have you defined the characteristics and attributes and needs of that audience so you can create more compelling content? That applies to salespeople as well. Now, by persona, I don't mean you have to have some long, drawn-out document. It's super formal. It could be a set of bullet points, right? But it at least gives you insight into what that audience cares about so you can have that conversation and create content around that. I'd say also operationally for sales managers, how do you create a system and a set of processes that allow your reps to have the right conversations over and over and over? I mean, you know, good sales is not just about nailing that call and nailing that conversation. It's about doing that over and over and over again, you know, knowing that many of those processes aren't going to go anywhere. So you're working the pipeline, you're working the map, but you need to have something that makes that not only repeatable, but also predictably, reliably the same with similar value. So understanding your audience better so you can create better insights into your content, and then creating a process where your reps are able to more efficiently and effectively engage with those prospects on an ongoing evolving the system that is to become scalable, they grow to deliver predictable results.
And where does this effort reside? Is it a collaborative effort between marketing and sales, or is there an ownership? Because you mentioned a couple of my favorite words, which is, you know, repeatable. So there's a usage of the resulting content, and somehow the metrics around its usage and the viability of optimizing it sounds like it's embedded somehow in there. And is that a sales function, that since they're the ones selecting the content and using it, or creating emails from the templates, or using that particular set of words in a voicemail? Is it the result of sales feeding back that this all works really well, or what do you say about that?
Yeah, in an ideal world, I believe strongly that marketing should own that function. I think what you're describing, what we're talking about here, is sort of a classic sales enablement one-on-one program, as far as I'm concerned, where, you know, you're delivering content, tools, and processes to the sales team to help them be more efficient and more effective. I believe that's best delivered by the marketing organization. I believe sales teams should be focused as much of their time on selling as possible, that it is not in their best interest to have to create their own content, develop their own personas. So I believe strongly that a key role of modern marketing organizations today, especially in B2B, is to deliver that customer insight, to create that content, to identify sources and specific types of content that can be shared and curated with your prospects to sort of keep that ongoing attention. And in many cases, to work directly with sales to develop the processes that they're using to engage with those prospects and customers over time. So, well, I mean, at the end of the day, someone's got to do it. And if you have a marketing team that is not stepping up to do it, then as sales, you probably need to embrace that so you can take advantage of the opportunity. But I highly encourage marketing to use this as an opportunity to embed themselves further with sales organizations and to go deeper than simply lead generation to provide, you know, more revenue-driven value into your organization.
So there are a couple things that I want your opinion on. It's something I've been wrestling with for a while. And I'm talking specifically outreach now. So this is basically first conversations with a list of targeted accounts or targeted people that we want to go after. And I call them the whales. So I've got that bucket. And then I've got follow-up where people have engaged in some fashion with us. So there is an interest, there's an awareness, there's maybe even evaluating that they're doing that. So I've got those two buckets of people. The first one, I'm trying to kind of understand the mapping within the organization. If I'm an upmarket account, I went through LinkedIn, I went through all the resources, I've researched, I think I got the right guy, not sure. But I want to be able to have content that can help me get to the right guy. Once I get to the right guy, then I want to be able to sort of switch gears and start selling them on my value proposition in order to get them to a first meeting. I see those as different content, because this concept of hyper-personalization is where I would put content for those people trying to get that first meeting, because now we've narrowed the focus because we know it's the right guy and we're trying to now get our foot in the door for that first meeting versus we're trying to find out if we've got the right guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is that a lot to ask of marketing to help us sort of have those different conversations going all at the same time? And by the way, we are supposed to feed back the results of these conversations so that marketing understands which pain points resonate faster?
Yeah, I mean, so you ask, is that a lot to ask of marketing? And I think the answer is yes. But I believe fundamentally that that is part of marketing's job and responsibility and role in a modern organization. I think gone are the days when marketing could be the glorified arts and crafts department and just create some collateral, throw it over the wall, and do the trade show booth and think they're done. Gone are the days when marketing can just generate a bunch of leads and pass them off and say, well, our job is done. We're going to go off to happy hour now. Thank you very much. So, I mean, you know, we see study after study that tells us that the buying process continues to expand and become more complex. That the members of the internal buying committee are expanding, that the consensus building and decision-making of companies you know, to buy the products and services that we're selling are becoming more complex. And so accordingly, our sales and marketing processes need to follow suit. Mm-hmm. You know, if we want to be competitive, if we want to win the deal, if we want to outplay our competitors, then we need to have this level of sophistication and precision in the way that we're going to market. So it is a redefining in many cases of the roles and responsibilities of both sales and marketing.
Right.
But I think it's a necessary shift. And we're seeing plenty of companies already do it, quite frankly.
Give us some examples. Give us some stories. You don't have to name the company, but tell us some stories.
Well, I mean, so for instance, it starts with the objectives, right? And I've seen a lot of companies start to say, hey, marketing, your objective is now that 1% of our net new opportunities come from marketing. Mm. Or that marketing is now responsible for saying, like, how many deals were touched by a marketing activity. And that marketing activity can be a lead. It can be something that was, a sales enablement process. It can be any number of things. I've seen some companies sort of eliminate attribution overall and just say, hey, sales and marketing, you have the same goal. Marketing, your objective is not leads. Your objective is not pipeline. Your objective, you have a quota, just like sales does. And there may be compensation differences in how they're put together, but it forces some of the right conversations. You no longer hear, you know, marketers say, well, I'm not willing to try that lead channel because it'll increase my cost per lead. Well, I don't care if your cost per lead goes up 3x. If those give better leads and a lower overall acquisition rate and at a better lifetime value of your customer, then you're making the right decision, right? And so, I think there is a lot of forest for the trees activity that has happened in the past with marketing. It still clearly happens in a lot of organizations where marketing is focused exclusively on the wrong metrics. If marketing is simply focused on lead quantity, then it's likely they're not getting the quality of leads to the sales team that they need. But if we can reprioritize the way marketing is motivated and compensated and rewarded, if we can tie that as closely to the final sales number as possible, I've seen numerous examples of the sales marketing team now prioritizing the right things, no longer focused on lead volume, focus more on the right leads and the right accounts, focus less time on, in some cases, inbound marketing, and focusing more time on sales enablement, helping the sales team increase conversion and urgency of the opportunities that they have. It's a different role. It's a different, in some cases, a different set of skills, but you've got a marketing organization that is going from random acts of marketing in that arts and crafts department to really being a profit center of the business. And it's a very big deal and a very significant improvement, I believe, in terms of the measurable results, the measurable impact marketing can have.
This sounds so transformational. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, wow, I personally have not encountered this in my accounts, but that doesn't mean that it's not out there. So where are you seeing this influx of, you know, the light bulb went on, or I got the aha moment, or I'm like, yeah, this is what we wanted all the time. Where are you seeing kind of growth?
Yeah, I mean, I would hesitate to use the word influx because that would imply that, you know, this is happening all over. We're definitely seeing this happening. I'm seeing more people give it lip service and have a difficult time implementing.
Yeah.
I spoke at a CMO council a couple weeks ago, and we talked about the idea of profit center marketing. We talked a lot about the idea that marketing can be seen and act like a profit center, not only in terms of what it reports, but what it does. And one of the biggest challenges to truly transforming marketing into that is culture, is the fact that you are now taking people who are used to focus on generating leads, and you're now taking part of the result out of their control. You're asking them to take on new skills that they're not comfortable with. You're asking them to change what they do in their job, which for some people, you know, impacts their job security, which makes them defensive, which makes them resistant. You've got a leadership team and a board that has gotten used to the up and to the right lead volume numbers in charts and slides for marketing. And now you're trying to change the way they perceive and value what marketing does. So there's a lot of resistance inside and outside of organizations to make this change. That just sitting here on this podcast is really easy to say, oh yeah, this totally makes sense.
Right.
Well, you get inside the context of a company that has to hit a number, that has to get the emails out next Tuesday, that, you know, has to keep people productive, that are getting a paycheck every other week. I mean, the reality of making this shift is not instant. It is not simple by any means. But I think the best thing people can do is start to evangelize why it matters. I think, you know, profit center marketing starts with intent, not perfect execution. It starts with talking about the impact marketing has on business metrics, not marketing metrics. And I was in a meeting this morning where I asked one of the junior marketing people, I said, what are your objectives for 2017? And she didn't talk about pipeline. She didn't talk about revenue results. She talked about open rate and click rate and getting more emails on her list. I mean, and I get that that's operationally where she's focused. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she couldn't, I mean, she literally could not elevate it into a business conversation. That is a challenge. Now, she may walk out of that room, even if she says, like, I'm focused on pipeline growth, and say, I have to go get open rates higher. I mean, and she may be right, you know, because if you're doing email marketing and you don't have good open rates, I mean, tactically, operationally, those are important. But if you have a marketing group that is perpetuating that is their job,
yeah,
that becomes their dashboard. Like, they go to the executive team, and they're not reporting on results or revenue impact. They're reporting on tactical campaign responses. I mean, it happens all over the place. So, like, and even in organizations that talk about revenue responsibility, even in marketing groups that talk about the alignment they have with sales. And part of this is to say we have a long way to go. Part of this is to say this is hard stuff. Right. I mean, we're asking marketers to do really hard marketing and do it in a way that in many cases is counter to the way they have trained and practiced to do marketing to date. So it makes sense that this is not a quick shift. But as far as I'm concerned, it is a necessary.
Definitely. Now, we're kind of running at the top of the time we have together. So I want to make sure that I know I'm feeling profoundly changed over here. And the reason why is because I have always been running under the assumption that a persona in marketing is not a persona in sales. Why? Because the persona in marketing is all about generating a kind of hand up in the air, like I'm interested. But the call to action for us, for personas, for top of funnel, I'm talking, is to find the right person or to get a first meeting. So those are two different, diversely different calls to action that we need from each, from marketing versus sales. But this is, now you're talking to someone who's still of that old mentality. So, you know, this profit center marketing thing sounds awesome. So,
well, it's something we're spending a lot more time certainly thinking about and evangelizing. And, you know, one of my real focus areas over the next few months is to figure out not just how to describe what profit center marketing is and what it can mean, but the next question everyone asks is like, well, how do we do that? Like, I mean, it sounds great. Like, you listen to this podcast, you're like, this sounds fantastic. Okay.
That was my next question, Matt, what system of yours can we get, follow, learn from you?
We've got, you know, even though we have just recently started using the term profit center marketing in sort of our material speaking, I think, you know, a lot of what you'll see on our blog, for instance, really sort of speaks to that. It's really, you know, even in some of the tactical recommendations, it's encouraging marketers to think in terms of the right target, to think in terms of, you know, if, you know, web traffic is not good enough, you know, are you getting the right traffic? If you're measuring, you know, cost per lead, that's only relative to the quality of the business value of the leads you're generating, if those opportunities are the right lifetime value targets for you. So, you know, there's a lot that you can, I mean, just, you know, we create a lot of content, and it's all available for free at nicemarketing.com. You can see a lot of it there. You know, what we're working on next is how do we take that concept of profit center marketing and help CMOs take advantage of it? How do we help, you know, managers and operational marketers, you know, sort of shift how they think about and how they talk about their work, and then, you know, shift how they're doing the work reflect that as well.
And for us, I mean, you know, it's been my mantra for top of funnel when we're doing cold outreach, especially since we're focusing on some accounts on those top 20, what they call account-based selling now, what in the olden days we used to call, you know, our strategic accounts. But be that as it may, we're still working those accounts in a hyper-personalized mode where We're doing a lot of research on the people within the company, what the company initiatives are, what the culture of the company is, but we still need templates to help us drive the sales conversations so that we ultimately get the right people sitting around the table from us so that we can continue our sales conversation. So, you know, that's kind of driven from sales. So how involved do you expect the sales folks to get as part of this, your initiatives for a profit center marketing? Is it going to be in marketing, or do you see it finally, you know, umbrella, get that kind of cross the bridge over to sales?
No, this only works if those organizations are doing it together. Okay. I think there's an enormous opportunity for marketing to lead the charge as one of many ways to build credibility as a profit center in the business and as a business leader in the organization. But this cannot be a marketing function. This only works if sales and marketing are putting ego aside and doing this together for the betterment of the organization, the betterment of their results, the betterment of their ability to predictably and scalably drive business results moving forward. So, yeah. You know, that's another reason why culture is so important to making this shift. You've got a lot of sales and marketing organizations that have been trained not to trust each other, in some cases, not to like each other. You know, the sales organizations believe at the end of the month and the end of the quarter that no matter what marketing is done, they're on their own trying to hit the number. And you know what? In most cases, they are right. Mm-hmm. But we have to change that. And if marketing all of a sudden stands up and says, check us out, we got this term, profit center marketing, this is what we're going to do, no one is going to believe them because marketing has cried wolf for too long. So it's going to take some time to build credibility, to build trust internally, to make some of these changes that are going to be required to have the external impact you want.
Well, Matt, this has been great. So I'm going to put in the show notes how to get a hold of you. But people listening to this are probably like raising their hands up above their heads saying, finally, I'm hearing something that makes sense. So, you know, what's the best way to get a hold of you and your organization? How can we keep in contact? Let us know. Tell us what you
want. Yeah, I appreciate that very much. I think, you know, you can find us on the web at HeinzMarketing.com. HEINZ, like the ketchup marketing.com. I'm on Twitter at Heinz Marketing, and you can email me obviously as well at Matt@HeinzMarketing.com. So, yeah, hopefully this is helpful, and you know, we'd certainly welcome the conversation if anyone's interested in talking more.
Yeah, and you do, you also do a radio show, yes? Are you still doing that?
Oh, yeah, we certainly do. Every Thursday we are live at 11:30 Pacific, 2:30 Eastern with Sales Pipeline Radio, and you were good enough to join us on a recent episode, and we just finished year one of doing the weekly show. It's been a ton of fun. Learned a lot from a lot of great people, including yourself, and it's been great.
Well, that's wonderful. So everyone, remember the term profit center marketing. Look to Matt Heinz for probably the evangelist that's going to lead us there, but also, you know, this is definitely an initiative where marketing and sales need to come together. You know, I'm coming from the sales side, so all of my clients end up doing some version of this, not nearly as complete as what you're probably offering, Matt, because I'm just focusing on one channel of top of funnel, which is outreach. But I think that is the answer, the content assets, the content conversation, the levels of awareness, all the things that the marketers know how to do. We have to put a little persuasive, you know, twist on it for what we need. But the content is there, and it's now, you know, we need to come together and get this happening, because this is the best way to reduce the lag in the pipeline and increase our response rates so that we can start having those conversations. It's really the only way. I mean, with predictable revenue, we used to have a goal of 7-9% response. When we started adding content assets to our sequences, we shot into double digit, and it is consistent throughout all my clients. So the importance of the marketing pieces is definitely there. It's the how to use them, when to use them, and with whom to use them is what Matt's talking about that he's perfecting over on his side. Thanks again, Matt. Really appreciate your time and your wisdom for us today.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. It's been fun.